بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a lot of dua for a group of his ummah who will listen to his ahadith. نَضَّرَ اللَّهُ إِمْرَأً. He said, may Allah tabarak ta'ala keep that person fresh, green, healthy. So this is a dua of nubuwa, which is something like if you know a pious man has come, and let's grab his dua. He made a dua that may Allah keep that person very fresh. Which person? He said, that person who will hear a narration of mine. He will hear one narration. In the first part of the ummah, you will find that every sahabi was a teacher. But every sahabi did not hear from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam every hadith. But whatever they heard, when someone would meet them, it would be like a thrill for them to say, let me tell you this one narration. Let me tell you this one narration. If the news would reach someone that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something and this person narrated, the narration comes of Umar bin Abdul Aziz. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimullah, was one of the unique khulafa in Islamic history. He came at a time where people had become used to being a khalif, a leader, but with a little wealth. There was nothing wrong with it. But it was the lands of Sham. People had become used to it. When the khilafat was in Makkah, Medina Munawwara, there it was a khilafat with poverty. Where the khalif would lie on the ground, he would be sleeping under the tree. But when it came to Sham, Syria, it changed according to the place. There was nothing wrong. When Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimullah, his father-in-law passed away, then his brother-in-law became khalif, then a second brother-in-law. The second brother-in-law, one day he just said, like, how will I meet Allah? So someone said to him, you know, the greatest action with which you can meet Allah is your brother-in-law. Make him the next. And when he passes away, your brother will get it because you already written brother, 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 brother. So just put him in between. So he only ruled for 2 years. Only for 2 years. But for some reason, when he was given that rule, before this he was sent to Medina Munawwara as a governor. He was of the royal family. When he came to Medina Munawwara, you must remember now, he's from the family of Umar radiallahu anhu himself, and he's from the royal family of Syria. So he loved Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. That was like an uncle for him. And Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu was that sahabi who had nothing at all to do with this world. Each sahabi, they took to a certain word of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu is walking. He stays back. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him a little bit because his animal was a little slower. He said, you in life will live alone, you'll die alone. That was his nature, that he could not live with people. For him, his level of piety was too high. They would take. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, one day Rasulullah s.a.w. just put his hand on my shoulder. And he told me, live in this world like a stranger. Or like you're just passing by. One sentence, that would become their life after that. That would be their life. If you had to see him, he was like a stranger in the world. Rather like a person just passing by. He would say, in the morning, don't have any hope of seeing the evening. This was his words. He says, and in the evening, don't even think you're going to see the morning. He loved like that, Abdullah bin Umar. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz came and he spent time with him in Medina Munawwara and he really took to his uncle. And then he became the Khalif. When he became the Khalif, someone said to him a narration. So this is the point I wanted to mention, how they loved the Ahadith. Someone told him a narration. He said, who narrated it? They said, so and so person. From. Immediately he wrote a letter to that person. And when the letter reaches you, I need you to come here immediately. So I've made arrangements that what is used for the mail. So they had created a bareed, a mail system. The horse runs to one point. Then you give the letter, that horse takes off. So the horse rests, but another horse. But it's a very fast system. You need the mail to move through the system. Now you got a man who's going, because the horse is resting, but the man is still carrying. So when he reaches, he tells Umar bin Abdulaziz that, had you wanted me to come, you could have asked me. But this way that you brought me, it really made me tired. So he says, you know, I would never have done that to you. But I heard you narrating from, and I wanted to hear it directly from you. Tell me that narration. What that narration had to do about. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about a group of people. A man for who the road will not be closed or opened. To said that for him the road is not closed. That he's coming. So suddenly block the roads, the king is coming. A man for who the roads will not be closed. A man who has not married al-mutanaqimat, the woman of who grew up in luxury. A man who has not married al-mutanaqimat, woman who grew up in luxury. And a few other qualities. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz listens to it. And then he says, I don't know what to do. As for the first point, I married a woman who grew up in luxury. Because his wife was the Khalif's daughter. He said, I married a woman. So he said, I already failed. So he said, as for the others, I'll make sure no one closes roads for me. I'll make sure this doesn't happen. I'll make sure that does. And even his wife, then he called her. And he said, I don't think I'll manage to look after you. I think we rather separate. So she said, what? And then he said that a woman in luxury, imagine like how they took to the narration. She took whatever gold came to her from her father. You must understand what gold that was. He said there was not a woman when we went to Syria. Among the graves that we visited, so her name was there. So someone asked like, all this men, who's this? I said, if you knew this woman, you'll understand why her grave is here. She gave away everything. They said there was not a woman in the world perhaps who enjoyed such a privilege that her father is Abdul Malik bin Marwan. So Marwan is a Khalif, her grandfather. Her father becomes Khalif, Abdul Malik. Then her two brothers become Khalif. Then her husband becomes Khalif. Then her other two brothers become Khalif. You can understand how many Khalifs she's surrounded by. And this woman, she takes that thing and she just says, God, whatever my father has given me, that's a high level. They had this thing about ahadith. That when my master sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something, can I live up to? Now we will read. Why I mentioned that point to you is to see when it reached them. They wanted to say, did he say it? That's all. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this? He said this. And then how will I get it? So this is like a dars of that. I will narrate to you one or two ahadith. May Allah tawarukala make it come in my life, make it come in your life. A bayan is easy to give, or maybe it's hard to give. This is easier. Because this, in class, for 6 years, it would be like this. And then in the final year of ahadith, it would be like this. Narrate, listen, have a desire to practice. So sometimes we teach these narrations to a small group of people in class. But they are the people who are put in a madrasa. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this here for his ummah who's outside the madrasa. And sometimes that student who's in the madrasa, by the time he comes outside, forgets the narration. Whereas this narration wasn't meant for the student. Because most of the time a student in a madrasa is not a businessman. Nowadays things are changing. Nowadays in the class you got that one student selling cars. There's always that student. Lord Mohanas nowadays can sell cars. Then that boy there, he's doing some business on his phone. Nowadays, but in the past, a student in the madrasa was not a person of wealth. And the person of wealth was not in the madrasa. And these ahadith were not for the student now, it was for the people. But it got caught up in an environment of walls. May Allah tabarakallah make it now the time has come, it has to go outside the walls. The ahadith of the businessman has to be mentioned in the business market. The man doing business must know the narrations. Imam Malik rahimullah in his time, if ever he got the news of somebody else opening a market in Medina Munawwara, he would call for the man and say, have you studied the laws regarding business mentioned in the ahadith? If the man said no, he said, it will close until you study it. Learn it, then go open it. What an error that was. That this was not mentioned for a class. My master sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell how the rich man must do business. He never told the poor man. He told the rich man. And then he said, فَلْيُبَلِّغْ الشَّاهِدْ مِنْكُمْ الْغَائِبُ. The ones who got it will take it to the ones who never got it. He wanted that. That I'll get one narration. That narration is for me. And it's for the people with me. And we must take it. So the few ahadiths we're going to speak about, and it's going to end where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to describe mine and your life. And that's how it's going to end. But to come to that day, we will explain what was the era where they had no wealth, and then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seeing no wealth, no wealth, no wealth, and then he is promised by Almighty Allah, your ummah is going to get very wealthy. So naturally, if in my and your life, we're living it hard, and then one day I see a dream. In the dream, I see treasures coming down from the heavens. And I ask someone, what's the interpretation? And he says, your progeny is going to be very wealthy. At that moment, what will I say? Will I call it a good dream or a bad dream? That's a very good dream. Very good. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw in his dream treasures coming down. He woke up. He said, La ilaha illallah. Normally you say like, Subhanallah, mashallah. He said, La ilaha illallah. He said, what and what has come down of treasures last night? Meaning the decision of what treasures from Ummah. Then he said, Mada unzila min al fitan. He said, what and what trials are now coming on Ummah? Immediately he said, who will go and wake up my wives? Who will wake up my wives? And he said, فَرُبَّكَ سِيَاتٍ عَارِيَاتٍ. That there will be so many wearing smart clothing in this world, naked in front of us. Meaning value, the world will give them valueless in front of us. He said, who will wake up my wives immediately? That sentence scholars write, what he meant was, that if the wealth of the world is coming for you, you are target, then to protect yourself from its bite, you will have to learn how to say no. What's the greatest thing that teaches a man no? The salat of the hajjud. The salat of the hajjud is not easy. Because 3 o'clock in the morning when that alarm rings, you always say, tomorrow I'll read the hajjud. But now I just need that one more hour because head is pain. That no to desire. The day man breaks it, Allah give us all the ability. To be able to break that, I'll say no to my sleep. The alarm rang. My sleep says, one more hour, please. One more hour. Sleep will even tell you, as it is that Fajr Imam reads long. How are you going to manage his Fajr? Just, and then you say no. You know how hard it is to say no. No to sleep. But the man who can say no to sleep one day, 2 days, 3 days, and it becomes natural, he will be able to say no to a pretty face. He will be able to say no to wealth, which is not supposed to be his. He said, who will wake up my wives? And if that fitna is to come, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Azwaj-e-Mutahharat was like the markaz. Whoever wanted to give a hadiya, the greatest place to give hadiya was to the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naturally, my Nabi's wives, the mothers of the ummah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even told his wives, the sabir, those that are patient will look after you after my demise. Sahaba radiallahu anhu all wanted that. That me to be called the patient one. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu was that one. That he was not family. He was not family, but the way he would carry on sending for them, that Aisha radiallahu anha said, wah. Every time someone comes, ask who? Abdul Rahman. He said, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, the sabir of my ummah will look after. That he's among the sabirs. Do you know how much of wealth was coming to them? But because they had been taught how to wake up at night and go on the musalla, that whole world came to them and they let the whole world go. Never affected them. But it wasn't left for them. He said, who will wake them up? It meant who will wake them up? Because if they need to wake up to be protected from the poison of wealth, then oh my coming ummah, you also will have to wake up. And if they can get bitten by that poison, otherwise it's not a sender. Who will wake up my wives? Say, my wives are protected. They're mine. They know about me. They know me. He said, what trials are coming of wealth? Who will wake up the people of the house? Allah Ta'ala make that me and you wake up. And we start, we wake up our family, a sunnah of the Hajj. It was once upon a time in the ummah died. It died when lights came on. It died when lights came on. Because a time in the past, after Isha, there was no lights. So what you going to do? Go sleep. Then lights came in the world. Because of the lights, people at night start thinking it's day. You will hear people saying, when is the supper? If it's a bride, let's do it after Isha. When's the early Isha? So we got the whole night. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never liked that. He never liked after Isha anyone should get together. Said, now go home. Go. You want to do something, do it after Maghrib. Finish it off. Isha already little but late. After that, go home. Why? He said, you need to rest, because he wanted the ummah to wake up. Lights came in the world. The other day we were at one place, they're showing me this phone. They said there's something you can put, one app, it's called blue light. I said, what's blue light? They said that you see, when you see the phone gives a light to the brain. It makes the brain think it's daytime. That's why you get awake. Because a man says, yeah, I'm very tired, that bayana was sleeping. But he'll go home and he'll start answering his WhatsApps. And you'll see at 1 o'clock in the morning he's still awake. How come? So he said that phone gave that. So now you put a blue light. So 1 hour before you start programming your brain that it's night time, now the body starts going into sleep mode. I told that person, you come to Darul Uloom, you will see in the daytime our boys sleep. They don't need nighttime stories. They can sleep in the daytime also. So all the stories, I said, those who can't sleep, I said, we got people sleep all the time. All the time they sleep. But really it was that when the night comes, the light's supposed to go off. So that after a couple of hours in the bed, your body naturally says, I had a good sleep, let me wake up. But it is still dark. And that's when this narration you'll remember. That when the trials of the world will come, it comes with wealth. And the protection of that wealth is to learn how to say no. One of the greatest ways to say no is on the musalla, when no one wants to be on the musalla. On the musalla, when no one wants to be on the musalla. Allah grant us all that. So in the beginning of Islam, there was no wealth. And Nabi Sallallahu was happy. And at the end, the narration will end now. I'll first explain to you quickly what was that beginning. So the narration is of Ali radiallahu an. Ali radiallahu an says, it was a summer's day, kharajtu fi yawmin shat. It was a summer's day, I left the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I took with me a skin, ma'atun. Ma'atun means we had taken it from an animal. Then I put it in salt to take away the rot. So it had its salt. It was now what we will call usable. That skin, jawabtu wasta, center of it I made a hole and I put that skin on top of it. Why is saying the seer? In a hot summer's day, you don't wear a leather skin. You're supposed to burn it with leather. What he meant was, I had nothing else to cover my body. So what you would never think of wearing, I needed to go out. So I wore that. You know that leather when it's hot? That leather when it's hot. He's explaining what we saw in that first era. So I put it on. And then I tied the sides. I took a little leaves of the date palm and I used it to make it like a string to make sure now it's tight on my body. وَإِنِّي لَشَدِيدُ الْجُوعِ Meaning when someone would look at him, he was later on the Khalif. Someone would look at him like, in a hot summer, you doing this? He said, I was so hungry. Otherwise you think I would have gone out at that time. I was so hungry. And then look at this word. He said, and had there been in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam any food, I would have eaten from that food. He was the son-in-law. There was no food. So he says, I went out searching for something. I passed فَمَرَرْتُ بِيَهُودِيٍ فِي مَالٍ لَهُ I passed by a Jew who was busy with his wealth, meaning with his palms, date palms, with his orchard. He was now pulling out water with his pulley, like, drawing out water for irrigating, drawing out water for irrigating. So I looked and it was a small hole in the wall. I looked and that Jew saw me. So he said, oh, Valija, Malaka, what you want? You want work? So Ali radiallahu anhu said, I need some work. In that leather, in that heat, but if you need food, he said, I had to go and work at that time. So the man said, okay, every bucket you pull out, I'll give you one date. Hallaka fi dalwin bitamra. Every bucket you get one date. In here we learn something. That if you have been blessed with wealth, make sure your children don't ever grow up spoiled in your wealth. So what you do? You must say, my son, when you're going to get big, you're going to inherit this whole thing. But if you don't ever see difficulty in life, you won't know how to manage the whole thing. So it is cruel for me to pamper you in luxury. Because the one who grows up in luxury spoils everything. In the past, even in the Khilafat, a Khalif's son, they would send him to another Muslim country. Still where the Khalif is controlling, but not where the Khalif loves. And they would tell the minister there, you will treat him like a normal boy. They would actually send a message, make him work harder. If he has to run the Khilafat, he must know what work is on the ground. Send him. The mother would say, where my son is going? Say, he's going to become a man. Learn to send your children out. This habit that's coming in the people now, you all know Mia's farm, I'm sure. It was like a nightmare once upon a time, isn't it? It was the way the father could tell his son, you want to behave for Mia's farm. So Mia's farm closed. No Mia's farm. No one is hard now. Now even the madaris in the world are so soft that they'll even give milkshake and burgers and pizzas. But still a boy will come there. And he'll say, I'm missing my mommy. Number one. That boy, do you think he's ever going to go and carry the flag of Islam? After 5 days fighting with the mujahids, they'll see him crying. They'll say, what's wrong? Say, I'm missing my mommy. Because he never learned how to separate. Number two, he never learned how to use a low toilet. That I cannot understand how our young children, even if you don't use it in your house, put one. Because they come to the madrasa. There will be 4, 5, 6 low toilets, 1 high toilet. All the boys will go for the high toilet. They'll stand there like so mutawazi, humble. See, so many toilets are open now, I'm waiting to be a chairman. Chairperson. My father said, you grow man, you'll be chairman in the masjid. Practicing now in the toilets. That boy, if he's going to go on the battlefield, he's doing a top job, bang, 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 shooting the enemy. Then he tells his friend, I need to go toilets. You got a pen for me. How is he going to go toilet? How is he going to go toilet? To see a young boy say, I can't. So sometimes if you can't grow your own child up, you need to send him. Even if you cry. Nowadays we find the parents cry more than the children. Even if you have to cry, your child has to go. Let him go 6 months. Let him go 1 year. He has to learn to go down. He has to hear somebody shouting him. You never shouted him. He'll have to make someone tell him, go do work. How otherwise can a child become a man? How is he going to become a man? So what we're finding in many madaris nowadays, they're saying local boys, they want to study from home. Foreigners, they come to the Darul Uloom. Very good. South Africa is serving the world. You ask why the local boys don't want to go Darul Uloom. See, they like home chow. Home chow. Like home chow. They go class and they come back. Home chow. That boy, do you ever think he can become a man? You'll have to send him to eat somebody else's food who's not mummy's food. And it's not easy, but for the sake of the future of our children, if we want them to carry the flag of Islam one day, we cannot carry on spoiling our children. You will have to break this thing. They saw poverty and they lived in it. Our children don't know what poverty is. In Syria we saw, when Allah wants to make someone lift up his flag, he puts them in difficulty. There in Syria we saw young children can carry bags and bags. Because when the war came, they were doing it for years in the tents. Now it's so hot, but you see the young boys walking around like nothing. Like nothing. And me and you, we just look and we get tired. And we'll understand who's going to carry the flag tomorrow. We must have a little mercy on our children and be hard on them. And from a young age, already start telling them, you're going to go to madrasa. You're going to go to that madrasa. The boy says, no, I'll study from home. He said, no one studies from home. You will go there. You study 2 years, you'll go there. Go there. People went. When you go, you're surrounded by horses. There's a law, Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi, rahimullah, said. When someone said to him, how do I get my child right? They said, when the slow horse needs to become fast, you just let it stay with the fast horses. Then when they're all running, it will run. But you're going to be behind the slow horse. Say, move, move, move. The slow horse is not going to move. I found many parents say, I'll teach my child at home. You say, you're going to die. He's not supposed to learn at home. Put him far from you. Where you can't see him, he can't see you. Then when he cries, you don't see the child. When he cries, you don't see the child. He cries alone. He learns you'll have to walk this path alone. He learns that. In the drug rehabs, the law is you bring your child to the rehab. You don't come for 6 months to see him. Because when the mother comes, she breaks down. Say, my son, how are you? He's in drugs already. What are you worried about him? You're managing. He was managing in the dirt. I say, you're managing. Say, don't be so hard on him. You don't want to come home. Come, come, I'll give you one pizza. A child don't need that love at the moment. He needs to come out of this guna, this sin. Sometimes to be hard, it is being merciful. All of us make dua that our children must go in a boarding madrasa. Must go somewhere. Few months also, but they must go somewhere. Away from us. To learn how to become a person. Boys, that is. Girls, you must never send them. Girls must study from home. Opposite happened today. All the girls you go to, they want to become alimas. And all the boys, they don't want to become alimas. Opposite happened. The girl's going to go madrasa. We're telling them, don't go madrasa. Study from home. She says, no, no, no. I'm very close to that morana. Say, you're not supposed to be close to that morana. You're not supposed to be. Be at home with your husband, with your father. That's for the boy. He don't want to go. Upside down. So let's come back to the narration. Ali radiallahu anhu saw him. He said, one date for one bucket. He said, I'm ready. He said, open up. He opened up. He says, I entered. He gave me the bucket. Every time I pulled one, he gave me. My hand became full with dates. And then I ate. As I ate, I said, Hasbi. He said, Joe, I haven't come for money. I just needed food. You can carry on drawing your water. I ate enough. I'm going. But then I pulled out one last bucket. I asked him permission, can I drink water? He said, I just drank. Dates and water. For him, that was like, at least my stomach was full. He says, then I went to the masjid. And I found Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the masjid. The scholars write under that point. That Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to go through so much, so much, so much hunger. That Ali radiallahu anhu experienced that hunger and he said, I was forced to go and find some work to get a few dates. But they write, even in that state of extreme hunger, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would still go to the masjid in the worry of his ummah. They write that under this narration. That's what he meant, and I found Allah's Nabi in the masjid. That in that state also he was not still going out. There was a time when one day he was out. It was so hot. He met Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, what brought you out at this hour? He said, hunger, ya Rasulullah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi said, hunger brought me out. You can understand what that hunger was. What that hunger was. So this is the condition that they experienced. The Sahabi radiallahu anhu says, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent us on an expedition. We were 300. We were told, here's your provisions. He said we could put it on our necks. What he meant, he gave us so little that we never needed a camel to take us, to carry our provisions for the journey. So little he gave us that our back was sufficient to carry it. Here's it on my back, let's move. He said we carried on, carried on. Fafani yazaduna, whatever we had brought all came to an end. Then he says, Hatta kanat takunu lirrajuli minna kulla yawmin tamra. He says, now it was a date per day. So the Amir would call us one time of the day and say, here's your food for the day. So the student says, Ya Aba Abdullah, wa ainat kanat taqa'u tamratu min arrajul. How can one date do anything for a man who's on a journey in the heat? He said, لَقَدْ وَجَدْنَا فَقْدَهَا حِينَ فَقَدْنَاهَا. You must understand Arabic. May Allah make it that environment comes again. We learn, our children learn Arabic. This is a treasure in Ahadith. It is not meant for the walls of any Darul Uloom. It is meant to be read in the Arabic language. Where you will feel the beauty of it. The sentence, لَقَدْ وَجَدْنَا فَقْدَا حِينَ فَقَدْنَا. He said, when we lost that date, then we valued having that date. Meaning the time came where even the one date was not coming. لَقَدْ وَجَدْنَا فَقْدَهَا. We understood not having it when we lost it. Is you telling me one date? He says, the day came where there wasn't the one date. Then we understood the value of that one date. He says, فَأَتَيْنَا الْبَحْرِ. We now came to the waters and Allah tabaraka has kindness. One of those big sharp fish, huge fish. The water moved away. It was pushed onto the shore. Water moves away. He finds it. He says, the ocean had pushed it. He says, we stopped by it for 18 days we remained on it. And we ate and we ate and we ate. Later on, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would tell them, this was a dawah. What a narration. I just had dawah in this town of fish also. 18 days they ate this fish. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this was the mihmani. meaning the meal that Allah sent specially for you. Yes, he had seen your hunger. He had seen your hunger. So now we understood where they were. Now you will understand this narration. Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu, he grew up in luxury. Then Islam entered his heart. His mother was very wealthy, very wealthy. When she heard your son is thinking of Islam, she told him, make a choice. You want this Islam and you will get nothing of it. She used to pamper him like anything. She pampered him so much that at night she would keep a bowl ready next to him. So if he wakes up at night thirsty, there's something to drink. Hungry, there's some food. She would sacrifice her sleep to make sure those two would always be full at night. This is what is called the mad mother. And now she tells her son that don't do this. Don't do this. And Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu, Islam has entered. Sometimes you'll think this only happened in the past. We went to Syria. Amongst those people who fought in the jihad, we met one man. His parents in one of the countries is not millionaire, billionaire. His father said to him, if you don't leave that place and come home, I will write you out of everything. You will get not one of this, what they call it, dinar. And he told his father, in the path of Allah, I found more wealth than what you can ever think. That man looking, sitting there, he is not telling me, they telling me. In their country, not billionaire of rands. Rand billionaires is like millionaires. You just go downwards. Here we're speaking about countries which are high in billions. That their rial and their dinar is even stronger than the dollar. There you speak about billionaire. That the father said, come home or you will get nothing. And he said, I have found by Allah everything. I'm looking at that person. I never knew I would see such people in the Ummah like that. Easy to talk. What a thing it is. Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu comes. Ma alayhi illa burda. He only has one shawl. It is patched. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees it, he cries. Because he remembers the condition. Lilladhi kana fihi minan ni'ma. He remembers the enjoyment, the luxury this boy had. وَالَّذِي هُوَ فِيهِ الْيَوْمِ And the condition he is now. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam starts crying. Then comes this narration which I wanted to explain. Allah Tabarakala, now let it settle this narration. This Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is speaking to me and you. Because this is us in the narration. We found ourselves. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, because he cries. So when you think he is crying because my ummah is so poor, he wasn't crying because my ummah is so poor. He was crying in appreciation of this boy's sacrifice. So then he says, Kaifa bikum? What will your condition be one day? Idha ghada ahadukum fi hulla, waraha fi hulla. That in the morning he will leave in one dress. And in the evening, he will return with another dress. Remember why I mentioned Ali radiallahu anhu. No clothing, that in summer, I have to take leather. Just make a hole, put it on. Tie here. That's like the highest level of poverty. He says, what will your condition be one day? Where in the morning, you will have one robe, and in the evening, another. Do we have so much? My morning clothes and my night pajamas. My morning clothes and my night pajamas. Men supposed to drive and move around with one cloth. If you go to a Darul Ulum, you'll see he sleeps with his kurta. It only happens there. But if you don't come Darul Ulum, you'll see a boy, he'll come with his pajamas also. He'll say it's time to sleep, so he'll go, he'll put on his pajamas. He looks so like neat. It's nice. Islam actually taught if you got, you must wear clean clothing at night. But when you come to a madrasa, you get so tired, you sleep with your kurta also. You got no time to take it out. But nowadays I do see sometimes a person comes for one day. They come for one day to someone's house and they come with two bags. Now you wonder what's in those bags. What's in those bags? Why? is this narration. That we're just clothing. For every cloth, a new shoe, a new scarf. For everything, I got this. Then you tell him that if you're so bad, don't ask about your wife. He says, don't ask about my wife. I'm telling you, don't ask. This is my cupboard. Hers is the other side. The wardrobe. So much of clothing. So that was one. What will your condition be? So much of that. Then, وَوُضِعَتْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ صَحْفَةً وَرُفِعَتْ أُخْرَى. When one plate of food will be put in front, and the other one will be taken away. Meaning you just finish eating the halwa, and you see already the chicken comes. Now you just started the chicken, you see fish coming. Fish, you just finished fish, you see fruits coming. You burped already, your dessert coming. After the dessert, they like the sentence. You don't want to wash down your food with tea. So you say, okay, a cup of tea. But no cup of tea comes. Cake comes with that tea. So there was no place left, but you washed it and pushed that cake inside. Just when you finish, you just finished. After the bayan, someone will say, Morana, you left here after Isha. Left here after Isha. This narration is me and you. This narration. How he explained it. When food will be put in front, another one left it. This narration, we are in the eyes. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wasn't happy about it. My ummah will be so wealthy. He was worried about it. He was worried. Number three. وَسَتَرْتُمْ بُيُوتَكُمْ كَمَا تُسْتَرُ الْكَعْبَةِ. When you will put curtains on your house, like how curtains have been placed on the Kaaba. Meaning you saw the Kaaba, how high the curtains go. Once upon a time, if there was a window, the purpose of the curtain was to cover the window. But nowadays, the purpose of the curtain is to cover the wall. Yes? We in the narration, you can go home and tell your wife, I never knew I'd find you in Tirmizi. You there. I found you. Allah Nabi spoke about you. Yeah, in the narration. Think about it. Think about what a word, how he describes. Qalu. So naturally, Sahaba got happy. They said, Ya Rasulullah, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nahnu yawma idhin khayrun minna al-yawm. On that day, our condition will be tops. Why? نَتَفَرَّغْ لِلْعِبَادَةِ وَنُكْفَ الْمُعْنَةِ. This word in Arabic, you have to feel that Arabic. نَتَفَرَّغْ لِلْعِبَادَةِ وَنُكْفَ الْمُعْنَةِ. He says, on that day, we will not have to work. So we will be free for the worship of Allah. I won't have to go and pull water out to get the dates. I'll have workers get my food ready, get this ready, get that ready. So what work will there be for me? I will be in the masjid all the time. نَتَفَرَّغْ لِلْعِبَادَةِ وَنُكْفَ الْمُعْنَةِ. We will be free for the worship of Allah. Allah will suffice us from menial labor. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, La. At La. La, at least everyone should know La. La means no way. No way. أَنْتُمُ الْيَوْمَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْكُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ. He said, today you are much better than what you will be then. Today you are much better. True, isn't it? They worked and they were in the masjid. We don't work and we're not in the masjid. They worked and worked and worked. And when he just finished eating that few dates, he went straight to the masjid. Said, you are in a better state today. You are in a better state. May Allah Tabarakallah let the understanding of that wealth comes with an imtihan. And as long as we don't think it's a test, when it comes, we'll just embrace it. When you embrace the snake, it bites you. You will have to learn to see the snake as it is. And thereafter, Islam allowed wealth. But you will have to learn how to say no. You'll have to learn how to control yourself. That person will go fine. Otherwise, wealth destroyed nations in the past much more than poverty destroyed. You see, poverty, when it comes, it brings a nation back to the senses. Now you'll see them reading Quran. Now they're learning Quran. War. If you were to see what war did in Syria, it broke the houses, but it made every house a madrasa. It broke houses. Now with no house, they're learning Quran and Sunnah. Everyone took to Quran when they lost their house. Every house became a madrasa. But in the place where there are huge houses, no one's in the madrasa. No one's in the madrasa. You say, how's the madrasa going? He says, you know what? Children will come for 1 hour. Because now they're in school. Now they have to have extra tuition. Now he's going for these lessons. Then he's going for boxing lessons. Then he's going for dancing lessons. Music lessons, any lessons. It seems the father, whatever he sees advertising, and that also. And that also. And the only thing he doesn't say, and that also, is for the madrasa. The madrasa. Why? When wealth comes, the appreciation of deen goes. When there's poverty, the appreciation of deen is. We all want wealth. So let's not grab wealth at the expense of our deen. Rather, let's let our deen move with it. If ever we see wealth is spoiling our deen, understand the snake is biting. The snake is biting. I must not die in its poison. Nabi Muhammad said, today you are in a better condition than that. Meaning on that day the imtihan starts. You think this is the exam, that's the exam. We're living in the exam. South Africa, nearly every house got. How we know we got? You ask a person, you got a fridge. Finished. If you got a fridge, it means something is in the fridge. So it means we got for tomorrow. We saw people in lands where they don't have a fridge. Because there's no electricity. The food of the day is the food of the week. Meaning if food came today, maybe we'll get food again after a week. In Syria, we went for one distribution, women and children came. The one woman, she took their envelope, $100. They were all clad in burqa, but the small children, all orphans. She told the guard something, he came and told us what the sentence was. Is yesterday, the last food that I had given by the other organization came to an end. So I told my child, lift up your hands, because there's no food in the house. He says, at night, the people knocked at the door to say, tomorrow, you can come for one distribution. And she looks at that. That $100 is what that sahabi said. The day you don't have it, you appreciate it. They'll go by now. That $100 is their food now for another few months. And when it's coming to an end, you worry. And then one knock at the door and you get so happy again. They'll come. Poverty. But where poverty came, every woman who came for that envelope came covered from head to foot. How is it poverty came with deen? They got no money for clothing, but they made sure they had clothing. How is it that wealth comes with no clothing? No clothing. Now you see that rich girl, but she got no trouser. You want to ask her, you need zakat. What happened to your trouser? What happened to your trouser? Now the sleeves went up. How much of material? There's no scarf, there's no sleeve, there's no trouser. She really needs like. You say, can't I buy for you some rolls of material? You got a problem with sewing? Let me make clothes for you. That's why I told you the difference. When poverty comes, deen comes. When wealth comes, we have seen deen just disappears. When poverty comes, they're fasting. When wealth comes, people are only feasting. You'll think that make shukr to Allah. What shukr? Now you see the music is blasting. So we are in that state, South Africa. The one town I went to, it never looked nice what happened. So I said, you know this town, when I was in Syria, the last time I saw actually one whole town was put up by this town. A whole town was put up. Charity. So the person said a nice sentence. He said, the sound, so much of evil happens. I think it's only their charity that's keeping Allah's punishment away from them. Only Allah's. But wasn't, what if charity keeps away the punishment? What has meant that? Why when wealth comes, so much of evil must come with it? That's when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what trials are coming for my ummah? Wake them up for salah. Wake them up for salah. If we are bringing wealth into our families, make sure our families know how to manage that wealth. Make sure they know. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallahi wa bihamdi. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. What time is that? Quarter past eight. I'll give you all time to all read Quran to me. Let's make dua. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وموس رحيم الله وموس كريم الله وموس forgiving الله. How the first part of the ummah took to the words of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah, let us also be true students in front of our master صلى الله عليه وسلم. How they made so much of effort to learn his words, to practice on his words, to retain his words, to teach others his words. Allah, let this be the mission of every one of us. To be able to understand the words of my master, to be able to understand the language of Quran and the language of my master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many people we have seen for the sake of a visa, for the sake of iqama, for the sake of getting entrance into a country, they learn the language of that country. Allah, let it be that me, Allah, let it be that us, for the sake of understanding your speech, and the sake of understanding the speech of our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we also learn the language. Allah, that which is difficult, make it easy. Allah, that which is difficult, make it easy. That which many felt impossible, Allah, show it to be possible. Allah, allow every single person to be a student of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah, let this treasure no longer remain confined to the madaris. Allah, let it be a mushtarak treasure. Let it be a treasure, an inheritance in which the share of every person is, and every person comes to get it. Allah, let every masjid become a madrasa after Fajr Salah, where everyone else is thinking at the moment, breakfast, going to open shop. Allah, let the day come where after the Fajr Salah, for about half an hour to an hour, there is nothing but Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who are sitting in the lesson? The young and the old, every single person. And when you ask, what are you doing here? He says, I start the day in the remembrance of my master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I end the day reciting the kalam of my creator. I read my Quran at night. I listen to the ahadith in the morning. My day is according to the sunnah. My night is in the remembrance of my creator. Oh Allah, let that day come alive in every house of ours. Allah, it is then that Jannah has landed on earth. Oh Allah, in your kindness, make every one of us from the inheritors of Jannatul Firdaus. Allah, bless every one of us with afiyah, with izzah, with raha, with salamati. Allah, let the poison of wealth not spoil us. Allah, let the poison of wealth not spoil us. Allah, let the poison of wealth not spoil us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillah.